1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. 1 John 5, 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So the first thing we're looking at tonight, number one, is the witness. The word witness is defined from Strong's Concordance as evidence given, the record, a report, a testimony, or a witness from Strong's Concordance. When a person had committed a sin, there was not witness singular needed, but witnesses plural needed. If you hold your place here, turn to me please to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. So there had to be proof. There had to be at least two witnesses. Deuteronomy 17, 6. Deuteronomy 17, 6. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave them a rod apiece. Let's see, I'm in Numbers. I'll try Deuteronomy. I thought I saw Deuteronomy somewhere. Okay, Deuteronomy 17. Okay, and verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. So when you think of the matter of murder, that was the death penalty. We see another one in Leviticus 20. Hold your place if you have something to put in this place as well. We're going to be right back here to Deuteronomy 17. But Leviticus 20, Leviticus 20 and verse 10. Leviticus 20:10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be what? Put to death. Now, what is interesting about this is that they tried to trap Jesus on this. So let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. When the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to do away with Jesus, they come up with this plan to get him in trouble with the Roman government. And they thought it was a foolproof plan. And John 8, verse 3. John 8, 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? So we just read from the Old Testament that law. So they thought they had him trapped. Okay, if Jesus says, yeah, put her to death, then we have another problem. Hold your place here. Have you got that many fingers or things to stick in here? John 18, John chapter 18. In verse 31, John 18, 31. So if Jesus said, yes, put this woman to death, now he's going against the Roman government. John 18, 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is what? Not lawful for us to put any man what? To death. So the Jewish people had the right to govern themselves to a certain extent. But when it came to the matter of putting someone to death, the Romans said, no, you do not have that right. You have to bring that person to us. So when Pilate said, listen, you take Jesus and judge him according to your law. I'm not going to mess around with this. They come back with, listen, the crime we are saying he committed is worthy of death. And we don't have that legal right under you, Pilate, under the Roman government. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So now Pilate realizes what they're asking for here, the judgment. So, once again, if you still have your Bible marked in Leviticus 20, I guess I lost my place, maybe you did yours too, but Leviticus 20, verse 10, it said, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." So they're thinking, okay, Jesus, what are you going to do? And now back to John 8 and verse 3. Was Jesus trapped? John 8:3. "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" So, was he trapped? Because to say, yes, put her to death, the Jews didn't have the authority to put people to death under Roman law. But they're thinking, but if he says, don't put her to death, then Jesus is breaking the law of God. So they thought, if you are a chess player, they thought they had Jesus in checkmate. They thought he had no way to move out of this one. And actually, they were the ones that were trapped. Because let's go back to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6. There was something they didn't take into account. Deuteronomy 17, 6. "At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death." Then verse 7. "The hands of who? The witnesses shall be what? First upon him to what? Put him to death. And afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you." So these guys are coming to Jesus thinking they got him trapped. What do we do with this woman? She's taken in adultery in the very act. God's law says put her to death. What do you say? What do you say? Are you going to go against God's law? If you go with God's law and you say, yes, put her to death, then now you're breaking the Roman law. Now you're liable to be in trouble. Verse 7, "The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death." So, who has to make the first move here? All the guys that brought this woman. All the guys that brought this woman saying, "We caught her in an adulterous act. In the very act, we got her. What do you say we should do?" Jesus throws it right back at him. "Listen, guys, it's you that are in the checkmate. What are you going to do? The Bible commands you," verse 7, "to be the first to put hands upon her." You are the ones that are supposed to throw the stones because you are the witnesses. So what are you going to do, guys? Are you going to break God's law? Are you going to break Roman law? Because under Roman law, you don't have the authority to kill this woman. But what does that mean? Are you breaking God's law? Well, they were the ones that were trapped. So let's go back to John 8 then and see what they did. See what Jesus did. Let's go back to verse 5, John 8, 5. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not." I have no idea what he was writing. Maybe it was that seventh verse, Deuteronomy 17, 7. I don't know. Maybe he was drawing on the ground their plans, you know, who was going to be where. Maybe he even wrote the name of the man that they didn't bring. Now, if they caught her in the very act, where's the guy? Where's the guy? We just read that the guy and the gal was supposed to be put to death. Hey, all you witnesses, why did you just bring her? Where's the man? Maybe he was writing his name. I don't know. I'm not sure. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is what? Without sin among you, let him what? First cast a stone. Or you see, it was their move for action. And in their move, they were the ones in checkmate. If they made a move against this woman, they were breaking Roman law. If they didn't do anything, they're breaking God's law. They are the ones in trouble, not Jesus. They were. So he tells them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Obviously, they were in on this setup. You know, did they just pay the man to do this? Obviously, they let the guy go free for a reason. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being what? Convicted by what? Their own conscience. Went out one by one, beginning at who? The eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Well, in this case, the eldest guys out of this group here figured it out first. You know what? We thought we had Jesus. We thought this was a foolproof plan. But guess what? We're the fools. We're the fools. The trap is on us. The trap got sprung on us. We're the ones that are in trouble now, either with the Roman government or with God, or both. So, Jesus here perfectly fulfilled the law in John chapter 8, verse 10, John 8, 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said what? No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, Jesus said he didn't condemn her, and according to the law, he could not condemn her. Why? Because there were no witnesses. He had to have at least two or three witnesses, and they all took off, because obviously they had a part in this whole situation. So, he legitimately let her go. So, something that seemed like a foolproof trap was not foolproof at all. The fools were the ones that were coming against Jesus, the Son of God. So let's go back then to 1 John chapter 5. So we see a little bit about witnesses there in that instance. The importance of witnesses. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. That was verse 8, I'm sorry. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So, in the matter of salvation, how many of us are worthy of hellfire? I am. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why. And the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are all worthy of death. Okay, we just read an instance about death, but the importance of witnesses. Okay, what about us? Where are the witnesses that would stand up for us saying that our sin debt has been paid? Who are these witnesses? Well, we just read there in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of who? His Son. Well, what has God testified about his Son? If you hold your place, turn to me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This is important that we have witnesses because we are worthy of death, eternal death. That's what we're worthy. John chapter 3 and verse 15, John 3:15. Actually, let's back up to verse 14, John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should, what? Not perish. See, we deserve to perish, but if we believe on Jesus, we should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. So this is the witness of God in his word, that if we believe on his Son, we should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who? Whosoever does what? Believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So do you see this witness that God has left for us? We deserve to perish, but if we believe on his Son, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Who is going to testify on our behalf? This is the witness right here. This is one witness testifying on our behalf to spare us from death, eternal death. Verse 5, Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth what? His love toward us, in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Much more than being now what? Justified is being made righteous. Justified by what? His blood. We shall be what? Saved. Saved from what? Wrath through him. So the testimony, the witness of his word is testifying that yes, we are sinners. Yes, we deserve to perish. But if we believe on Jesus Christ, there, this is the witness of God and his word that we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So let's go back to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. But where is the plurality of the witness? Remember, these people could not be put to death unless there was more than one witness. Do we have more than one witness that we have everlasting life because we believed and the Son of God? Well, let's read 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, what? Eternal life. And this life is what? In his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath what? Not life. These things have I what? Written unto you that do what? Believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If we go back to verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath what? The witness. The witness where? In himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. But I want to go back to the first part of that verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So we have God with the written witness testifying that if we believe on the Son of God, we have everlasting life. But who is this witness within us? Who is this witness in us, verse 10? Well, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We have more than one witness that we have been redeemed when we receive Christ, that we will not experience that eternal death. Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth what? witness with what? Our spirit that we what? Are the children of God. Let's read that verse 16 again. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That second witness in us is the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 9, Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in what? The Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, what? Dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. So we have that second witness, that witness within ourselves that bears witness that we are the children of God because we have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That second witness is the Holy Spirit within us. And he is the one bearing witness, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, sometimes in life we may get discouraged. And sometimes we may suffer the loss of many things. We've suffered the loss of our loved ones. And we may have to suffer in many ways in life. And sometimes people can get really discouraged. But if you notice there in verse 16, and we'll read on a little further this time, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we, what? Suffer with him that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the, what? The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory which shall be revealed in us. So witnesses are important. It took plural witnesses to put someone to death. Well, on the positive side, we have plural witnesses that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who are saved, and we have everlasting life. So we have a plurality of witnesses there. And it's so good to know whom we have believed. What a blessing that we don't have to wonder about Sister Verberg. We don't have to wonder. And I talked to some of the nurses and asked them, I said, you probably get into some really hopeless situations, don't you, where people don't have any hope about their loved ones. And they said, yes. But we have a sure hope in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that sure hope. We thank you, Lord, that we have a plurality of witnesses to give us assurance in our hearts. And Lord, we know that this earthly life is filled with suffering because of sin, suffering and death. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to reach others with this message of hope, this sure message of salvation and everlasting life. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to wonder if we're going to heaven. When we have repented and received Christ, we have the witness of your word. We have the witness of your spirit within us to give us that assurance that heaven is indeed our home. Father, please help us to be able to reach others with that message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please.